welcome everybody to the Cosmic Connection. I am your Cosmic Connection, Michael Elejon, your host. And every week we try to cover not only subjects that have pertained to what's going on here, but also sometimes of an intergalactic or cosmic nature. And for those of you who are joining us for the first time, I always invite you to go to my website, channelforthemasters.com, and also prepareforthelandings.com, which are two of the websites I have that kind of gives a lot about my background, how I got involved in all this, and also vortextoursofsedona.com is a recent website as well. I've been guided to do these cosmic vortex tours that activate DNA, RNA, and as the planetary frequency steps up, frequency shift that the planet is going through. And people are beginning to feel this major shift that's been going on for the last two or three years. It's really intensifying. And channelforthemasters.com, many of you that are joining us for the first time can see a list of NASA star people characteristics, which many people find very interesting because that is also connected physiologically with many of us who have spiritual connections with this extraterrestrial reality. Those of us, as myself, having had physical contact with human-appearing ETs as a contactee and also having been trained in the Edgar Cayce tradition of channeling. So for myself, it was from the get-go. It was a reality and contacts with human-appearing beings that saved my life, interacted with me, made it very clear that we do have experiences of intervention, divine intervention personally, as well as what's going to be coming up in the future. Prepareforthelandings.com, you can see my book that Prepare for the Landing, which is definitely preparing humanity from one perspective, intergalactic perspective. And they also have the honor every now and then of connecting with others who are also plugged into the cosmic circuit and has studied and researched. And today's guest, which very interesting, Robert Perella, who I connected with just recently, and he's in fact going to be the MC for the upcoming Bay Area UFO Expo. And I want to draw everybody's attention to this wonderful event. It's the 11th annual event, Bay Area UFO Expo, and it's going to be held at the Marriott Hotel, Santa Clara, California. And that's next weekend, September 12th and 13th. And for more information, you can go to the Bay Area UFO Expo.com. Check out their website. It has all the speakers and schedules there. And quite a lineup of people that are in the UFO field for quite some time. You know, many of the people that Aurora Light and I, in fact, for years have, as we have given events, been events at conferences, quite a lineup of people. So, and Aurora Light's going to be also giving health consultations there, and I'm going to be also available for my transformational channeled readings that I do for light workers, volunteers in Earth Embodiment who are waking up and recognizing, starting to realize that many of us are on missions from more advanced worlds. Our soul has come here to on an Earth level, and we're setting the stage for eventually what some call first contact, more open contact with what I call the Federation of Light, who is right now cleansing the heavens of some of the riffraff, so it's called out there, and getting ready for this event when this Earth will no longer be culturally quarantined and will actually have a membership within the Federation. So there's a lot going on in many levels, and there's a lot of researchers and people who are doing their work, and very important work, in fact, to get the public more aware. And Robert Perella has quite a background. In fact, I want to, you know, go a little bit over his background and introduce him. Robert Perella is the internationally acclaimed author of The Divine Blueprint. Interesting, because that is a name I've been very attuned to for quite some time, and I've been using it myself, actually, for many years, and for my seminars and workshops that I've been doing. Some things on a galactic level aren't really copyrighted up here, it seems. We all plug into the same knowledge and from different perspectives, so it's always interesting to hear somebody else's attuned awareness. And the Divine Blueprint, as Robert has shared, is a roadmap for the new millennium and the Divine Architect, The Art of Living and Beyond, which is another book. And he is most noted for his outstanding lectures in North America. His contributions and publications include 20 years research in the esoteric sciences, metaphysics, past life and near-death experience studies, earth-based anomalies, extraterrestrial science, and has led groups to the sacred sites of Stonehenge, England, Egypt, and the Far East. His first publication, The Divine Blueprint, is a perennial bestseller and enjoys domestic sales in the market as well as foreign rights sales in Spain, Mexico, and Brazil. His second publication, The Divine Architect, has been a favorite in the U.S. market and has enjoyed sales in Canada. He is the Director of Development for the United Nations Association in Northern California, and in 2006 was awarded the prestigious Certificate of Congressional Recognition at Stanford University for his outstanding humanitarian relief efforts with Adopt a Mine Field, UNICEF, and Hero AIDS Africa. He is a sought-after guest in radio television and has been featured on CNN, A&E's channel, the Fox Network, and Coast to Coast AM. And his lectures and workshops are very popular at conferences and expos throughout the U.S. and abroad. And I want to welcome you here today, Robert, as my guest. Quite a background there.
Michael, that's just so wonderful that we're kind of on the same thing. When I came out with Divine Blueprint in 1998, I didn't realize you guys were already doing, you know, the series, and we're all trying to define that. And so it's very apropos, I think, we're together. Very apropos.
Yeah, well, it's amazing. No accident, of course, that some people connect, and I think a lot of things, of course, orchestrated on higher levels, and then it all plays out the cosmic Earth drama down here. And it's great to cross paths, and I feel very strongly that most everybody I've been connecting with has been significant in my life. I've crossed paths with, and some of us have had past lives like Knight Templars and some of these other earlier times when we were, you know, guardians to knowledge, and now we're all back again to finish up the drama. Finally, once and for all.
It's very eloquently spoken. I see your website here. It's fascinating, too. It's very in line with terrific galactic knowledge. Wow. What a website.
Yeah, well, having had physical contact, as I said, I've had two physical encounters being taken aboard the Merkaba. I call the Merkaba light ships of the Federation of Light, and they saved my life, intervened, and my book, of course, Prepare for the Landings, is in itself is really strongly is preparing people specifically for open intervention, open contact, and a lot of this is also exposing what our officials have been up to, the shenanigans of the Earth, the corrupt politicians and bureaucrats, and thing I want to mention this too, the last show last week I did a whole show on the mandatory vaccination attempt. In fact, I just presented at my website channel material section titled Resist Mandatory Vaccinations with Cosmic Help. Because we need to call on our friends off the planet, and I'll tell you, when you're on Earth, you need a good cosmic backup team. And they saved my life, man. So many times I've lost count, actually. And so one of my jobs has been exposing government cover-ups, and yeah, of course I was targeted, and they tried to off me quite a few times, but Black Ops. But I'm still here, and I'm more determined than ever. And this vaccination thing is a definite issue that we need to, because I just got email to me today, a copy of the French plan, September 28th, they're planning mandatory vaccination of everybody in France. This is just the beginning. So we need to stop them. We need to do what Lennon McTaggart talks about, you know, powerful intentioning, and visualize them not being able to do this, because it isn't just to destroy us, it's to affect our consciousness and, you know, control the world. So we've got to nip it in the bud immediately. And the channeling I did was talking about how they're going to back us and support us. If we will do our work, our responsibility, they will step in and help us in this and many other issues that we don't need to deal with anymore. We're tired of the power elite, you know, dictating. It's time for the people to rise up, and I think we're like a sleeping giant starting to wake up now, but we need to intensify this. So that's something I feel people need to be really aware of.
Sure.
And yep. But I, you know, I think that it's very important that we need to emphasize the positive, but we also need to be aware of the issues that need to be exposed as planetary wounds. So that's kind of where I'm coming from as well. And I noticed that your background also includes you're a recording artist, and you did some really wonderful musical things for a presentation about the economic situation as well. This sign here, quite an interesting presentation.
They had liked it. You know, I was seeing the discontent in the country, and I was also seeing the downturn in the economy, and I was also witnessing pretty much the end times sort of financial meltdown that we're all sort of witnessing here. So the producers from the film Just Sign Here had heard my song Whatever Happened to the American Dream and wanted to put it in the song, or rather wanted to put the song into the film as the documentary that's due to be later released later this year. So I'm very fortunate for that. Yeah, so we'll see. Well, we have to say, it's. But I agree with everything you're saying there. It's a day-to-day thing to try to be focused, fully awake, fully present, and help be a part of the solution rather than part of the problem.
Yeah, that's the whole thing. And not to let them take our sense of humor away. If they take our sense of humor away, then they've defeated us. With all their attempts to off me and everything. I have a greater sense of humor because I know that this too shall pass. It's all. I got to the point of having an attitude. I thought, well, if I'm that much of a threat, I must be doing something right. So I said, go ahead, hit me with your best shot, because, you know, that's the only shot you're going to have a chance to, because very soon as the light builds up and the people awaken, it's like a sleeping giant, we are going to be a very powerful force to contend with. And so, but we need to be the guardians. We need to be the guardians to our freedoms. And then have you ever studied the Nasara situation?
A little bit, not too much. I don't know too much about it.
Yeah, well, I've had different opinions through the years because I've heard about it for almost 25 years, and times I thought, oh, it's never going to happen, and others have an opinion that it's just some scam thing. But when you study it and look at the real history of it, based on what St. Germain has done there, and there does seem to be some reality to it now, to what degree and how soon and all that. You know, we all hope it will happen, but I'm not holding my breath either. But it is a great idea of getting rid of the Federal Reserve, you know, kick it to the cosmic curb, along with all the power brokers who, you know, they've been in power too long, and it's time for the people. Like, I believe in the first shall be last, last shall be first principle, and that we are about to experience some kind of major shift because of a major awakening going on, and we are demanding more quality. In fact, I was told that new energies are hitting the planet that have never existed in the universe, and especially have never been here, and that's forcing accountability and integrity to come into alignment that the officials did not want. And so it's forcing, as I say, all the skeletons to come dancing out of the closets, which means we have a lot of new storage space.
You're absolutely right about that. I think what they're saying, at least what we're getting at on our side over here, you know, that we're heading towards what's called the galactic center. The closer we get to this particular cosmological balance and conjunction that is supposedly supposed to seriously kick off in the winter solstice of 2012, there's a window there.
Of course, then there's the argument, or rather discussion, of is it October 28th, 2011, or December 21st, 2012?
Exactly.
I've heard two different theories. Well, my theory, here's more than a theory, is I have a very strong perception from my contacts off the planet that we are manifesting, starting to manifest a new timeline. It didn't exist in the original timelines. It's like overlaying the other that's causing the people to awaken. And instead of it turning out more horrendous when more people die and have to suffer, we are creating. And a lot of, in fact, they told me, it's similar to when I do these transformational channel readings that I do, where they have me energy being from the Merkaba, and they're downloading these higher lighting code moments that are unique to each lightworker through the special effects of some movies, some that are more like time travel themes or higher dimensional things. They're using the special effects to encode collectively and remind many of us that we're here on what Archangel Michael calls cosmic spiritual espionage missions of light, secret agents of God, so to speak. Then we are manifesting a new timeline and outsmarting the cabal, the Illuminati, by creating a different reality, breaking through the matrix, and creating a different outcome that's throwing the cabal. They're freaking out right now because they're desperate. That's why they're trying to push the vaccinations on us and everything else. That's going to turn out with a larger number of people not only surviving but not have to be so traumatized. If the energies continue as they appear to be in the next, in the coming months, the next year or two, we're going to see a really powerful shift that's going to throw the cabal for a loop. They never expected in their ego that, you know, things would come to this point. So I think we are experiencing consciousness time travel and altering the outcome. And if we do what Lynn McTaggart talks about, mass planetary and intentioning, and really embrace this reality, we can really, you know, hit them, as Asher likes to say, hit them off at the pass and nip it in the bud before they can achieve their new world, I call it a new world odor, because it stinks to high heaven, of course. Their plans, because we have a better plan. And plans can be changed, but our plans have a higher priority than their plans, the Illuminati Cabal's plan, and I think we can achieve this very powerfully as people wake up on a mass, like a 100th monkey effect kind of effect. We step it up and we intention and envision this, then Mother Earth will experience a much smoother transition and not have to suffer so much as bringing in the golden age.
I hope so. You know, not everybody will, I think, understand quite what's happened when this has happened, because so many people are so asleep that you know, their mind will not be simply able to get around, you know, the idea that there's been an intervention. I think, I don't know about you, but I've seen the intervention as being, you know, an ongoing slow process. We've started already decades ago with crop circles and leaving messages in Mother Earth, and then they step it up into more of the, you know, the ethers that are right around us in our own DNA, and then slowly but surely, people start actually becoming somewhat telepathic, a telepathic society, and then the next stage, they become even more so. But while others are completely, utterly asleep and really have no idea quite what's happened, until finally it does reach a crescendo, like you're saying, that
And then the intergalactic beings come around to all the sleeping people and kind of shake them a little bit and say, hey, you know, you didn't hear the alarm clock, but I'm coming around to make sure that you are awake, at least so you can choose to get out of the bed or you can lay there and, you know, I'll suffer whatever. But, you know, it's my perception that one soul will be forgotten. In other words, every soul will have a chance. In a way that, unlike earlier times when there were emergency evacuations, divine interventions earlier, this time the Federation lights around in guardian action around this planet where millions of ships of light, I've seen images, David Sarit and others, taken from NASA of their infrared ultra-low frequency film they've taken of literally fleets, millions of ships up there. And they're gearing up. They're getting ready for the big shindig here, as they call it, officially when they openly appear. And what they're trying to do is get everybody ready and also help us discern that when the power leader, if there's still someone in power and they try to announce an invasion scenario, people will go, I'm not buying into the fear trip. We've had enough of that through 9/11, which was a wake-up call. Now everybody's waking up and starting to really discern, starting to really break through the global mind control, HARP, and the chemtrails and all this crap that they're trying to dark alchemists are trying to throw at us, and it's my understanding a lot of people like myself, and maybe you too, yes, have activated the immortality gene within us. So we are building up a spiritual consciousness immunity. So even attempting to create like this flu thing, you know, a few months ago when they attempted to start it, hardly anyone got sick because our immunity is spiritually building up. But they're so desperate right now, so we just have to be guardians and be alert.
You know that you're right, Michael. There's something happening here. You know, it's the strangest. It's the strangest feeling. You know, I spend time in the UK, not always here, but in the UK and England, and I spend time with a community of people there too. Specifically, even my girlfriend, who's just saying, "Are you feeling this too? Do you feel that there's something in the atmosphere? I don't feel like you sit still. You can almost kind of hear like a committee." And I go, "Yes." And they go, you know, is that the beginning of what this is all about? Because we've been hearing and feeling and sensing and the general whole field around just your immediate environment sometimes becomes like there's a presence there now that wasn't there before. Now, some people, like I said, some people will know and understand that something is there. Others won't have a clue. And that's why it'll be such a funny time to live in. You get movies like that are coming out, motion pictures today. Like, I haven't seen it myself, but this film, District 9, gives us an idea of an alien intervention yet at another.
Well, I saw the movie, and it was a horrible movie, in my opinion. Now, the beings are weird looking. Okay, there's different types out there.
Yeah.
But the whole movie was a really disgusting. It wasn't uplifting. It wasn't, you know. Anyway, that's my opinion.
I think that's designed to distract people because I think people will be very surprised when they are here and they actually manifest. I think they're going to be very surprised to see they were men and women like just like you and I who had simply benefited from greater time and greater knowledge, and understood this from the other side. That's why I say all this ET business is not these mechanical things or gray green things and the gray man and all these stories of that. They're going to be quite surprised to see that they're men and women like us who have simply stepped to that next level, who understand a little more about healing and telepathy and aren't plagued with the quarantine and an ongoing war on the material plane.
Well, realize that, you know, and of course, the last one thing I've seen in the UFO community, Robert, and that's one of the next book I'm about to come out with, is about the exposing the cover-up on human appearing ETs. You know, for the last 30, 40 years in the UFO community, there has been an agenda to debunk, ridicule the contactees like myself. And I studied the work of people like George Adamski, and I knew George Van Tassel before he was taken off the planet. He actually channeled Ashtar for the first time on July 18, 1952, when Ashtar reconnected in the modern times with Earth. And, you know, there was an agenda to debunk and ridicule. Well, they then eventually stuffed the grays down everybody's throat, so to speak, because of an agenda and an agreement that the cabal, the government, set up with the grays while turning down the Federation. In fact, February 20th, 1954, when they landed on the tarmac at Edwards Air Force Base, they asked our command, and they called them the Aetherians, and they stepped out there, and they said, we want to give your people technology. Well, you know, the stipulations are you got to relinquish your thermonuclear warheads and so on. So that's been an agenda. Now, slowly, the spiritual beings are starting to be re-recognized, thank God, finally.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I fully agree. You know, I don't know if you follow the Pleiadians' work that much, but I'm pretty well thinking that that particular blueprint for the intervention here is probably pretty quite close to the theory of the nanosecond, the three particular periods in time in the last 25 years, starting with 1987, leading on up into, you know, the end of 2012. That whole period there in three phases of them stepping up this process of being able to actually slowly integrate and actually introduce themselves. I think they understand, from what I understand, is that they understand there is definitely a culture and a society to protect here, and they understand well the consciousness level of the people and what they can and can't handle. They also understand the technology that's here that's right so high on our level with the nuclear and everything else that we're not consciously evolved and hard evolved enough, but we've technologically advanced, which makes it a terrible imbalance and raises a red flag and is ripe, makes us ripe for an intervention as well, because they don't want to lose the platform for the incoming karmic bound souls that are due to come in. There's a tremendous agenda already in place here. It's sort of like they have really the control, but at the same time, in the free will zone, which is where we are in the material world, there is a chance, you know, that we could actually detonate or start a chain reaction. And I think if that were to happen, I think the intervention would be on. I mean, I'd like to believe that. I'd like to believe if it became the global nuclear warfare, that suddenly a stop was put to it and somebody, like almost like a referee, had intervened and said, wait a minute, time out, no.
Well, as a matter of fact, when I was 9 years old, Robert, that's when Ashtar first popped in etheric. He was staying there, and I was listening to Kennedy's news conference about the Cuban Missile Crisis, as I share in my book. Yeah. And he said to me, not to be concerned, it's against Federation policy, we're not going to allow nuclear war. And he informed me about how President Kennedy had been contacted. Well, sure enough, recently a video service, George Adamski, famous contactee, had met with Kennedy a year before the Cuban Missile Crisis. Through his space contacts, they told him that he was going to be facing within 1 year a challenge, and to be strong and to be courageous, that he would get support and backing from off the planet. That's one of the reasons he was able to be strong. And Asher also told me that, he told me even about nuke suitcases, the whole concept. He said that we will neutralize them, but the world officials will hold it over the heads of the people to make them feel, oh, there might be an accident, might be a problem. Well, we won't allow those problems, even though people do have to take personal responsibility and rise up and demand the end of nuclear weapons. Still, Federation, under Federation policy, they said that this is one of the things they will not allow, because if the Earth was blown up, just like the planet Maldek was at one time, it would impede, disrupt the entire system of the universe.
Wow. That's true.
Mm-hmm.
Very true.
And he also told me how they've come down over military bases. Well, sure enough, in recent years, all these people through the Disclosure Project have been going out talking about, you know, UFOs coming down, hovering over the... In fact, Astor told me right after the Chernobyl incident, he said that he brought a Merkaba light ship down over the reactor, and they dropped the rad level on the instruments. Well, sure enough, years later, when the Soviet Union collapsed, documents coming out of the Soviet Union, one of them was specifically about the reactor. And, you know, the cleanup crew was basically ordered at gunpoint, this is your job, go in and clean up the mess. Well, this one document describes, as the cleanup crew is approaching the reactor, they watch a UFO come down, hover, and on their instruments they watch the rad level drop. So as bad as it was, it would have been a lot worse if they hadn't stepped in. Now with the chemtrails, they're stepping in also to clear up the petrochemical poisons.
Yeah. What do you think?
I'm sorry?
Oh, I was just asking you what your thoughts were on that.
Well, it's interesting when Aurora and I, Aurora Light is the, of course, she interviewed you last week.
We actually had rescheduled the show. The station.
Oh, okay. She's the co-author of my book, Prepare for the Landings. Well, she and I used to travel after we became aware of the chemtrails in the early 90s. And from my understanding, after the harmonic convergence in 87, which began to cause a planetary frequency shift, the cabal freaked out, so they came up with HARP and chemtrails, thinking, we'll destroy, so we traveled, and everywhere we would go, we always saw the chemtrails in a few days at least, and not to be confused with contrails, of course. And finally, when we were in a little town called Sarasota in Florida, interesting happened was we lived in this one little location, Sarasota, near Siesta Key, which is a real beautiful 99.9% pure quartz sand. And we hadn't seen any chemtrails for about a week or so. And she and I were always running into ex-military people from NSA, CL, the Alpha Pursuit agencies who are retired, who share stories with us. And I thought to myself, now, the government wouldn't spray their own personnel, would they? Guys who've given duty to the country. And since Homeland Insecurity has been monitoring everything, they're very insecure, and so I was saying this over the phone about, hey, I'm talking to a friend about this. They wouldn't spray their own personnel, would they? Well, kind of as a question. Well, 2 days later, here come the chemtrails. They were doing grid patterns, and they're doing one way and going the other. And I thought to myself, why don't they just do cosmic tic-tac-toe and make it a little interesting at least to look at? And they were spraying down petrochemicals. So I kind of lost it and started yelling at my friends upstairs about, hey, get off your fannies up there. Let's see some action about help. 2 weeks later, and we always call our home the launching pad. Well, late one night as we were about to go to sleep, I heard my friends tell telepathically to come outside and take a look at the night sky. So as I'm stepping out the front door of our home, here comes a big green fireball shooting across the sky, lighting up the sky. And they said to me, we're starting to take action, it was interesting. My response was, well, pray tell, like to be impressed, not depressed. And they have kind of a dry sense of humor, but they were very serious. And they reminded me, which is true, back in the 1950s, when nuclear testing started up in New Mexico and Nevada, that's when massive green fireball sightings were seen. Those were the Merkaba light ships in the Federation taking a lot of the radiation out of the atmosphere. Well, it's interesting because they referred to my readings, and specifically these higher light encodements, which I briefly mentioned earlier. These encodements for the light workers are designed to increase and enhance the immune system, as well as other things, as long as we personally take responsibility. It's the old God helps us and helps themselves principle, that if these people will personally, watch their diets and do the things holistically that will build up your immune system, increase your auric field, and so on, these encodements, when they download them onto the tape of the session, will enhance the immune system. It's kind of designed to create self-sufficiency, self-responsibility, and they're the backup to enhance. They're doing a lot of work. You'll notice these lenticular clouds sometimes, these saucer-shaped clouds. The ships are in the etheric or in the physical, and they have an ionized cloud around it. And I have been watching them clear out sometimes physically, or you'll still see the chemtrails, but the effects upon us are not as the same. So they're doing a lot of work now because a lot of us are calling and decreeing for them to step in, and that gives them mandated authority to do a lot of things for us on the behalf of the people.
I'm curious, how do you feel about the cabal? Could you, as much as we're on the radio together, I'm curious about your feelings about, what they are, the myths and misconceptions about what they are, because not the audience doesn't all know who the cabal is.
Well, I use the word cabal, the Illuminati, the industrial military complex, the 13 banking families, as David Icke talks about, the reptilian nature of these people. And they're running scared now because their light's catching up to them. They've had power for ages on the planet. When they originally came in, the draconians, we can call them, they infiltrated the Elohim colonies. When the Astra Command, the Federation, established Earth human in the likeness of these higher beings and endowed us with 12 strands of DNA RNA, well, the Nephilim, the Anunnaki, the Draconians, shut down 10 of those strands to enslave us and manipulate us to make us not able to function fully. Well, for ages, they were able to use mind control, behavioral modification, and various different things to impede humanity's progress. And now, though, with the higher energies coming on this planet that have never been here before, the higher forces have given them notice. Your day is now done. The people have asked us to come in, and this is something I want to emphasize. Right after the false flag in 9/11, there was a huge wake-up call, and I was told they actually beamed most of the people out of those towers. That's why very few people went there, picked up any souls hanging around. They actually intervened, because it wasn't their karma to die, but it wasn't their, you know. Well, this was a wake-up call. That was allowed. And there was a vote taken on the higher realms. And 99.9% of everybody on the earth said, I'm ready for divine intervention. What's basically happening is everybody's waking up. Less than half of 1% who didn't want it are the members of the cabal or souls I call cosmic isolationists who are caught up in a lot of pain but desensitized from higher awareness. And even though they're in pain, anything beautiful would seem alien to them. So there are a few who decided to stay stuck in the will of karma. But Mother Earth has had enough of this crap and basically have given notice to these forces. You either align with the light or you're going to be recycled to the Godhead. That's your choice. Now, we can forgive you for your negative, all the horrible crimes against humanity, but we can't let you run ripshod any longer. So it's a done deal. Cosmic done deal is just a question of exactly when are they going to be making their mass appearance. So the cabal's freaking out, you know, 13 families, and it seems like a few of them, some of the fourth, fifth generation, have infiltrated the reptilian lineage. They're bringing in the light now. Just like Prince William, for example, in Britain, he's come in to, bring in the light to break the reptilian lineage that the royal family is a part of. And some other things are going on behind the scenes that's freaking out the cabal big time. Because, you know, higher beings will come down and sit invisibly in the boardrooms and listen to their horrible plans and astral system. Well, that's their plan. We've got a better plan. So now they're starting to become aware of that there's a sleeping giant waking up. And their power is done for, basically, even though they're still trying to play out their scenario. You know, it's like a leopard doesn't change its spots too much. But they've been given notice. And we officially are also letting them know we're not going to take this vaccination plan of theirs. They're running scared and desperate right now.
Yeah, I just, you know, I've been friends with David Icke for a long time. You mentioned him. You know, there's an awful lot of what he says. It's very, very true. I don't know if I agree with all of it by any means, but he's certainly a fascinating study. A fascinating study.
I wasn't hearing what you said there, but... So a lot of people who would consult themselves conspiracy theorists often not have been aware of higher forces. Now, I was in a unique position because not only was my mission to expose government cover-ups, but I was to introduce to the planet to the realization we're part of an intergalactic community. So, they tried to off me, but to bring both the kind of two camps together, the conspiracy quote and then all the New Age airy theory kind of stuff, merge it together, and we can cross the Rainbow Bridge and work together in such a way to... End the planetary wounds, heal the planetary wounds, and stop the power. It's time to fully end and expose all of this and heal the world. Mother Earth is definitely not going to handle any more of it, and what we need to do is come up with the positive solutions now. And like Bill Alec, for example, who's the host of the Progressive Tech Hour, he interviews people on all kinds of exotic technologies and has been working with anti-gravity research and stuff. And we're on the verge of a mass, beyond anything the Renaissance that went through, we're about to experience a massive technological shift. All these inventors who haven't had the funding are kind of finally be brought together. That's where we have Progressive Tech Center, which is a nonprofit 501c3, to get everybody, kind of like the Orion Project, Stephen Greer, to bring it together and build communities. And literally unhook from the grid and escape the energy, as Bill Alec likes to say, escape the energy well. Go anywhere we want to.
Sure.
It's about time.
So how do you feel about 2012? Do you think that we'll see a big shift before then, or do you think that's just the beginning of the major part of the shift?
Well, we're already seeing an intensification, and of course, this is like the old slang expression, ain't seen anything yet. It's the hors d'oeuvre before we taste the entree. For those of us of the light, it's going to be like fasten your seatbelt, but it's going to be a wonderful ride. Things are going to get better and better and better. It's like the little mantra. We need to do it easily, effortlessly, joyously, lovingly, and powerfully. But for those of the darkness, of the cabal, if they don't align with the light, they're going to fry. They're literally going to cancel out into recycle to the gut hit. And so we're going to watch them play out their little drama. People like Cheney. Now, I understand the cabals with their anti-gravity craft, they're like Model T compared to the Merkaba, but they're trying to leave Earth right now. And the Federation's blocking them and going, you think we're going to let you go elsewhere when you treated your own people horribly? human right violations. We can forgive you, but we can't let you take your negativity elsewhere. So you need to fetch up and start doing things, because we're not going to let you go elsewhere. So there's some little battles. If you look through third-generation military-grade goggles, like I have, you can actually see some battles going on where the Federation basically is. When they try to, the negative cabal tries to fire on the Federation ship, it bounces back. They're like Keystone cops, basically. They just don't get it. They don't get what's going on here because they've never had to deal with it. They've never had the people rise up like this and with outside help to back up our support and support us.
Wow. You know, this kind of galactic knowledge, not everybody's, attuned to it. It always kind of throws them a little bit when they hear authors, speakers speak about an actual divine blueprint-styled plan that's being unfolded to usher the planet into a new age of enlightenment, you know. I was curious, how do you feel about, Sheldon Neidl's work? Somebody mentioned him just recently, and I said, you know, I had not heard from him in years.
What he's guided to do. I'm in tune with a lot of what he's doing, and there's some things I'm not so in tune with. I mean, I'll turn some people off, though, when you go to his website and you see a reptilian being rather than a human appearing. I mean, there's many, not all reptilians are negative. I'm just saying that for some people who are just getting into it, it can be a little turn off. And I kind of said that to him once, but, you know, he's just doing what he feels in his own guidance and to the best of his ability. A lot of people have been enlightened by it. He's very much into the Messiah material, which hopefully will happen. I've had some indicators that we may be getting close to it. Of course, I've been hearing about it for 25 years, and I really feel we need divine intervention to officially make it clear to the cabal, get out of the way, we're ready for a new system, not the Amero that, trying to bring all, get rid of our national sovereignty. I think we can still be sovereign and still, as on higher worlds, unite as in councils. We don't need the power elite dictating to us and all they're trying to do. But, you know, Sheldon has done a lot of work in a certain area. And I've done, we all have a kind of different orientation in areas that we are, our missions being what they are. So some people get a lot out of it, and there's many sources that are popping up right now all over the planet.
Well, I think it's helping the planet, at least that they get pieces. Not all the pieces will be accurate when they're reported, but they're all pieces to this sort of puzzle that we're trying to survive. Mm-hmm. Rather, try to understand, the Maya, the Sanskrit, the Bible, the Gita, the Torah, the Sumerian tablets. I mean, all seem to be pointing to this window that is this great change that's happening. And in many ways, some of us, I think, feel like, there's a whole community out there, people that are not surprised by this. And at the same time, there's people that haven't heard even the slightest word about what is going on here. So it's exactly, in some ways, and I'm not a very religious fellow, I'm extremely spiritual, but it is probably pretty accurate what the Bible says when it talks about the fact that many would be sleeping and not, and many would deny that he has come, which maybe perhaps is a symbol of the Christ consciousness coming and returning back to the planet with a spiritual hierarchy behind it that is a little more ET oriented as we name it in this time period. The prophet couldn't call it that then because they didn't have those words then, and they didn't maybe see it quite as that, or perhaps they did. Maybe a lot of the lost texts that's out of the lost books of the Bible and other texts, the Dead Sea Scrolls, point to this exact intervention that we're talking about. We just have a different way of saying it, but I think it's all part of the same thing, wouldn't you agree?
Oh, definitely. My perception, too, and, I was 8 years of age when Jesus, Yeshua Sananda, I was sitting in the back porch of my home, and all of a sudden, boom, he's standing there, what I call the archetype thought form, in long white robes and sandals and all here, and he's looking at me, and I'm looking up at him because he could have reached out in an intangible body and touched him. And he appeared, and then he disappeared and reappeared. Now, same being, same dude, dressed in a gold, silver, metallic jumpsuit, and says, "I am your commander-in-chief, Lord Sananda." I mean, same being. And I kind of thought, cool. I mean, so related to him more as a cosmic intergalactic being than the, an Earth mundane master, quote-unquote. And he said, "Remember that lifetime." Well, I have a memory of him being beamed up into the great cloud, the Merkabah. and all from the tomb. I remember beamed up, and the return, and then he came back, lived for many years on Earth, and he and Mary Magdalene, and they had a whole family, and he traveled around, but he was like a contactee with his own integral. He was, I call him our commander in chief because of the Federation. He's plays a major role in the Galactic Council, and he didn't come to create religion. He came to set us free by creating more, you know, a spiritual attunement, and he was, of course, into the Gnostic teachings, and he traveled all over the world, and you know, there's a lot of interesting story. But you know, the Council of Nicaea, kind of like the Warren Commission, kind of like the 9/11 Commission or the Condon Report, Project Blue Book, they took out a lot, changed a lot. The truth is still there to some degree, but it takes a mastermind to kind of really assimilate and realize that, as Barry Downing says, it's an extraterrestrial UFO casebook. The Bible's filled with cases that are coming down.
Yeah, it is. It's also a history book. And then many other people added their things to it. And, of course, we end up with what it is, what it looks like today, which is a montage of history, a montage of science, prophecy, history of families. You know, at the end of the day, still the hardest book to read on the planet. Just if you're trying to decipher it, good luck. Beautiful book. Very difficult to discern, though. But I am pretty quite convinced that it is probably most definitely the Christ consciousness, and the return of the spiritual hierarchy, the Elohim, led by Sananda and Ashtar and these other beings, that is pretty much inevitable at this point. And it's funny to live in these times and know things like that and then meet your neighbor who has no idea what you're even talking about. And then you realize the polarity difference between where you've been putting your interest and where he's been putting his. Not to put him down at all, because God bless everybody. They have their position and they have their place and they have their interests and their endeavors and everything. But it is it's just an amazing observance to watch the division in consciousness happening on the planet. I think one of the most interesting things as far as the division in consciousness has happened, I think, in Iran recently with the vote of Ahmadinejad. And when the vote came back, and despite overwhelming popularity by his opponent, Ahmadinejad was still declared the winner, and the public revolted, as you saw, all over in a way they've never revolted before. And so as a result of the revolt, the clerics are asked to go back to their chambers and to ask God, is this sanctioned? And if it is sanctioned, then they have the blessing of God and the okay. It's almost like they have the highest authority, and therefore the public should not argue. The problem is that the consciousness has changed so dramatically in Iran, and the demographic of the people living there are largely between 25 and 35 now, who have decided not completely abandon, but to not necessarily give them that kind of power so they can make the decision for the people based on just the fact that they go back and they ask, you know, God, is this sanctioned? Is Ahmadinejad really the official real president? Did he really win? And then they come back and they say, well, God won. The public revolted and turned around and said, basically, there's no one on the other end of the phone. This is all a scam. You're holding this over our head. There are people on the other end of the phone, the galactic sort of line that we have to the other side, but it isn't necessarily coming through and saying, oh, it's definitely true. This particular being is the winner. You know, I think at the end of the day, they might have somebody on the other end of the phone, but it isn't who they think it is, because I think it's pretty obvious take anything away from him, but you know, the world is very wary of him, and I don't think the clerics have a direct line. I might get in trouble for that. I don't know. You know, maybe the Muslim community.
You know, I wanted to mention too, before we go on, kind of as an intermission thing here about, again, you're the MC for the 11th annual Bay Area UFO Expo, and I wanted to emphasize this too, because this is a wonderful chance for people to find out a lot about the extraterrestrial UFO reality, and this is going to be held at the Marriott Hotel, Santa Clara, California, and next weekend, September 12th and 13th. And again, you can go to the Bay Area UFOExpo.com, get all the pertinent details, speaker schedules, all that. And your website, UnitedLight.com, or Perella's website, go there, check out his background, all the things he's doing. He has some very interesting, involved in some very interesting projects. And I know you have a lot more, you know, it's going to be, I think, being cosmically downloaded from the cosmic internet. Got a very good information up there. It's time to download it, interface with the Earth Internet. Yeah, that's an interesting thing, you know, going on, what's going on all over the world. The people are in a mass demanding their universal sovereignty. I think that's the, this energy of accountability and integrity I mentioned earlier is flooding the planet right now and is stirring up the sleeping giant. We're waking up and we're not going to, there's no going back. We cannot go back. You can't put the genie back in the bottle. And it's inevitable that it's going to become more, people are demanding more and more and wanting to unite. And they everybody's realizing how the power elite have pitted us against one another, that they created walls and barriers and put names and labels. If they can name us and label us, they can control us. Well, we're breaking through all of that. We're not accepting any longer because we're all unique souls. I think that's something you've also been able to help bring people into realization.
Well, that's what we're trying to do. It's just to have them entertain the idea, you know, just entertain the idea that, that there is a higher intelligence. Try to become in tune with it. I would say more than anything else, it's going back to just a real personal growth message, and that is just take responsibility, be very grounded, look at your accountability. Are you being authentic here? Are you part of the solution or part of the problem? What is it that you can do to make our world a better place? If it's, you know, if it's healing, then practice that. But it's just for people to become more awake and be and live a life with passion and purpose and living full out, probably and most definitely, at the greatest time in the single course of human history, which is this great change that we're talking about. Now is the time to jump on board and get excited about this great change and that we're facing and to embrace each other in all religions, to embrace each other and to put down you know, all of this superfluous, which is to lord over one another with idealisms and military and everything. I will be happy when the Earth is united as a species, as one race, rather than a series of tribes that are still at odds with one another after all this time.
So yeah, that keeps the war machine going, you know, and profit, and it's like this insidious what these people have. So as Ashtar once said, he said, it was kind of a, not a question, but a statement, he said, if Earthian humanity cannot handle the present finite, diverse planetary diversities. He goes, how in the heck, not really a question, will Earthy humanity handle the vast, infinite, intergalactic diversities that are literally about to come down on Earth here shortly?
That's just it. And it's all part of the ascension process. And it's a good thing. Uh-huh. You're right. It is very, very, it's a necessary thing. Suffering at some point has to end. Is it, according to the Bible, it does say that there will be no more crying. You know, for these things will have been swept away. And I would hope that we would be lifted up into that higher aspect, especially for the ones that are suffering in such spiritually bound countries. But, you know, I don't know. There is a plan there, and perhaps they are designed to be there in the tougher spots, and some are in the easier spots, depending on where you were. You might say you are who you are because you're the result of everything you've been, and now you're here at this time in the material world, and you're given a chance to do your work and or see what you know you what serves creation or what takes away from creation. I'm glad we don't live I know that things are getting tough in America with a lot of our rights being taken away, but I'm still glad that I'm here versus some of the other countries where the rights, the basic human rights are just literally taken away. I mean, people haven't had their phones taken away or the internet shut down in this country. When that happens...
we want to make sure that doesn't happen. I know that's the plan of the power elite, but we need to become mobilized and demand that that never happens. Do what we have to prevent that and call on higher forces to help us.
Righto. Right on. I fully agree with that. Absolutely. Yeah,
so,
it's a wonderful thing.
Yeah, there's a lot of interesting, as you said, we're living in a very interesting time, and that can either be a blessing or a curse for for different people depending on what, you know, how open we are to the changes. So what do you see, Robert, as far as your perception as we come up to 2012, as we near this gate or this portal? What is your perception about what's going to be happening?
One of the biggest things just on the material plane is that at least the beginning of people realizing, I think Diane Sawyer said it best, you know, she's from ABC and does Dateline and these kind of shows and everything. She said it best. I have to give her the credit. She said, there are no passengers on planet Earth, only crew. And the minute that you realize that you can no longer be just a passenger on this planet and that you must be awake and aware and you are actually part of the crew, the world will start to get better. So we see the youth getting into this whole eco-green movement and realizing we can't just do whatever we want to the Earth as far as its waste and waste products and everything. We're, you know, the global warming aspect is waking everyone else up, realizing that that's going to put us all on an even playing field, because at the end of the day, regardless of color, race, creed, or religion, you know, if the weather turns on us or the sky begins to completely turn against us, we're all on the same plane at that point. It's down to basic survival. So we just have to be awake and join that movement of every day waking up and saying, what is it that I can do to make the difference? You know?
Uh-huh.
And knowing that this is the time to be the best person you can be. Because you're absolutely poignant. Correct, and so eloquently spoken in the beginning of the program, we were talking about the terms of to walk in integrity and be the best person you can be, because that change is affecting, you can see the corrupt that are into the darkness is becoming darker, and the light is actually becoming lighter. So when people say things are going to get better, I love that. And when the people say they get darker or more awful, they're buying more into the illusion that the material plane is offering them. So you have your choice. Which one are you going to choose?
It would seem to me what some people say is getting worse, what's really happening, if you look at it from a higher level, is all the stuff that was hidden, it was like the wound that was festering, it's all come out in the open to clear the area that where it was hidden. So for most people, it seems to be getting worse, and really what's happening, it's getting better only because it's come out in the open. And when people also realize, one more key point, and I always look forward to the times I have memory of being in the councils, that one day we're going to be standing before the great councils of light again, looking back on our life. And we're either going to look back proud that we rose to the occasion and give 1,000% of ourselves, in a sense, or look back regretting like, oh, I didn't turn every stone possible. I could have done more.
Isn't that so true? Do you know that in the near-death experience studies that our office has had here over these years, we find a common thread, and it seems to be the thread is that people have died to live to tell about it and say what they saw on the other side, always report back a very similar message, and that is, it wasn't all the bad things that made them feel awful and regretful and all the darker aspects of their life. It was all the missed opportunities to do good.
Mm-hmm.
And it was right
what they
in front
didn't
of
do.
Them the whole time. It was right in front of them the whole time. And they think, gosh, I was there for 78 years on that planet, and I didn't figure it out. You know?
I know. And from a cosmic point of view, for those of us who are volunteers in this embodiment, and I'm so passionate about kind of symbolically shaking people a little bit and say, don't you remember that moment in the councils and debriefing when we were getting ready to come this final time that we were so passionate about, you know, not letting the flak in the front lines. Why, even though there's been some casualties, those of us who got through most of the flak and you can make that final, you know, cross the beach, so to speak, and overrun the, you know, the imbalanced energies and retrieve the Earth victoriously, and one day when we look back, we don't want to regret that. So, you know, you've been doing a lot of work, I know, that's just helping people to come to realize the important priorities.
Oh, absolutely. I actually didn't fight a lot of things in the UN. I thought it would be better for me to be on the inside since I was associated with people that were in the music industry. And I felt that it was important to embrace a particular cause. And for 5 years, I was at Adopt a Minefield, which was an odd choice for a nonprofit or an effort that you can, you know, choose here, because in the U.S., we don't really have a global landmine crisis here. So, but I was passionate about it, and because I was meeting the people that I was at the time, 5 years I spent with that. It's an insidious thing when a 13-year-old can walk through a field and something was planted in the ground many, many years ago, maybe 20 years ago, and step on an anti-personnel landmine and then lose her limbs or her life to a war where the soldiers have long gone home.
And that's one thing about higher technologies of the Federation. They have technologies to locate instantly every one of these kinds of things instantaneously and eliminate, neutralize every one of them instantaneously. That's what I feel is morally unconscionable, that the ridiculing of the contactees and the beings that they're connected with that would solve the problems, which within the power of the elite, of course, that is one of the most horrible sins against humanity, that because of that agenda.
Yeah, it's just terrible to see something like that. And I thought, well, if people would just choose a cause, it's amazing when they put their attention. We've seen it every time. It's amazing when people put their attention to something, what they can achieve.
Oh,
and really, to go in and do great works and rid ourselves of the landmine crisis, I'm still passionate about that.
Well, it looks like the way the hour has gone by so fast, I want to thank you, Robert, for being my guest. Maybe I'll have you back sometime in the near future with more to share. I want to thank you. And again, for those who find out more, they can go to unitedlight.com and check out your website. And again, you are going to be the MC for the 11th annual Bay Area UFO Expo. Again, you can go to the Bay Area UFO Expo.com and find out more details about that. So thank you, Robert, for being here today.
Michael, your spirit shines bright and lights the way for many. Thank you for having me.
Yeah, well, thank you for being here on Earth also for the rest of us as well. And as I always like to say, because it's true, keep your eyes on the skies.
Hello everyone, this is Bill Alec. In this new book that just premiered at the Academy of Arts and Sciences in Hollywood, California, delves into our connection with human-appearing extraterrestrials. In Prepare for the Landings, authors Michael Elejon and Aurora Light go into their long-standing contacts and what's in store for all of us here on planet Earth. In Prepare for the Landings, you will learn why this planet has been quarantined and how the ET connection to the Bible and other ancient writings has been deliberately suppressed. Go to prepareforthelandings.com and prepare yourself for the coming shift of the ages taking place right now. That's prepareforthelandings.com. Get your copy today and don't be left behind. Go to prepareforthelandings.com.
Hi, my name's Jack, and I'm an avid listener of Cash Flow with James Martinez. The global financial crisis is changing the world as we know it. If you've struggled for years trying to resolve your alleged credit card debt, I want you now to imagine your own personal financial freedom. The famous philosopher Lao Tzu once said, "A journey of 1,000 miles begins with one step." Take your first step in a new direction and notice how good it feels. Remember, life gets better when you're headed in a new direction, and your new direction is freedom from credit card debt. Please call 888-213-7655. That's 888-213-7655.
You're listening to AchieveRadio.com. A new drummer. For a new awakening.